We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Oh, God. God, we need your holy fire. We need you, Lord. We need God, you to just keep touching us and just doing a work in us that's just, Lord, going to be amazing. It's just going to be amazing. And I just wrote down on the back of the paper here the words of a song I just love. But I'm just going to pray the first part of it as a prayer. It's a song that came out in the 90s, The Spirit and the Bride. And it's just an amazing song. I listen to it a lot. And it goes, deep within, there's a fire that can't be quenched. And there's a love for you, Jesus, that's as strong as death. Hear us, O Lord. Hear the longing of our hearts. We want to be where you are and not apart. We feel you near, your presence all around us. O Lord, we want to see your face. Come take us away. And then it goes into the chorus, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we just want a fire inside of us that can't be quenched. Oh, God, God, you're just bringing a new fire. And it's the fire of God that's just going to cause a longing for you more than we've ever had. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Wow. On Monday, the Lord just took me back to a incident in my childhood. I was probably about 7 or 8, around about that, and I was raised on a sheep farm, and my father loved to go out at the end of the summer. It was, you know, sort of getting cool. It was sort of into the autumn, but if we'd had a dry summer, the rush bushes that would gather in clumps in certain paddocks and become, you know, quite a weed in some places, they would be fully dry. And it was a time to go out and burn them. Yeah, that was the time. And my father, I suppose that when I look back, he was like most of us. Deep inside, we're a bit of a firebug. <You know? laughs> There's a fascination with fire, isn't there? There really is. And, of course, he took me out with him. And, of course, I was excited because deep inside of me, there was a firebug as well. So it was dad and son with the firebug going out. And it was an amazing day. I mean, it seemed a day. It was probably only an hour or two. But we would light, and he got me to help him and light some of the rush bushes, and you'd grab some of the dry stalks and you'd use that as a torch to light the next one and to light the next one and the next one. And, oh, it was fun. It was a real day of fun. And, of course, what happened was I got, without realizing it, I was actually getting too close to the fire. I was just getting too close, and my body temperature was rising. But when you're having fun, you don't even notice. You don't even notice that you know, probably my face was as red as, and of course, the next day, I woke up with a condition called croup. Do you know what I'm talking about? But I found out something. And this is, if you can catch hold of this, as in the natural, so in the spirit. What had happened? It's like us, we love to get close to the fire. I mean, I love a fire tunnel. There's something about a fire tunnel that gets me excited. It may not excite all of you, but that's probably the fire bug still at work. I love a fire tunnel. There's something about the fire. When you get close to the fire, you actually get a boldness. You get a boldness. And of course, what happens is that we get close to the fire, but then when we come away, we cool down too quickly. And I got croup. It's one of the main reasons a person can get croup, because we get overheated in the fire, or we get hotter, our body temperature, and then we cool down too quickly. And when I realized that, I thought, God, you're telling the church something in the spirit. That we all want to get close to the fire, sometimes not too close, but we all like getting near the fire. But the problem is, after we've been touching the fire, we've been close to the fire, we cool down too quickly and we get spiritual croup. And I think one of the problems in the church today is a condition of spiritual croup. We've been close to the fire, but we pull away too quickly. We don't stay in the fire. And God is saying, we've got to learn as people to stay near and in the fire of God, because God is about to bring a greater fire to his people in this day. In this day, we really do. See, what happens when you get croup? I remember it. I sounded like a walrus. It was like that. Honestly, I remember. See, I think that's a bit like a church that's got cold. We sound like a walrus. We're muffled. Our voice is muffled and indistinct. And we can be a church and an individual where our voice is muffled and indistinct and of no value, of no worth to the world, and our voice is irrelevant to the world. They don't want to listen to a walrus. They want to listen to someone that's got a boldness and a fire and something about them. See, I know in the New Testament, there's a passage in the book of Acts where the people of this particular city, I've forgotten what the name of it was now, they said, the people that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Hallelujah. When you're on fire, you have the capacity and the ability to turn the world upside down. And God wants his church to be in that place where we have not got spiritual croup, but we have got spiritual fire. That's what he's looking for, because we're staying close to the fire. Wow. It's been interesting. This last week, see, this was Monday. I come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday. And there were a couple of people that prayed, God, we need more fire. We need more fire. And I thought that was interesting, after God had just taken me back to my childhood and that particular incident. I hadn't thought about it for years. And here's someone, or two people at least, praying in the prayer meeting, God, we need the fire. We've got to have the fire. I think there's a stirring of God in our hearts that we've got to have the fire. And I just want to take you to the Just the one passage that we're going to look at today in Acts 28. We've had sermons, messages, if you like, on this, on this over the years. And there's probably two things in this passage at the beginning of Acts 28. There's the snake and the fire. And some people put emphasis on the snake because that's what they want to bring out. And that's fine. You know, you can bring a message on the emphasis on the snake. But I want to bring out the emphasis on the fire, because that's what God's speaking to me about today. We've got to have the fire. There's a cry in the hearts of people. I've been reading. I mean, I read a few prophetic websites on YouTube, and I haven't. When I think about it, I've noticed in the last few months there have been increasing posts, prophetic word posts, about the need for the fire to come back. We've got to get back to what God wants. In verse 2, well, the background of this is Paul and was on a ship that was shipwrecked. There were about another 270-odd people that were on this boat, and that they were on their way to Rome, and they got shipwrecked. And they landed on an island of Malta, which, of course, is still there today. There is an island of Malta. And the natives of Malta had a kindness. They were heathen people. They hadn't heard the gospel, by all accounts. They hadn't heard it at this stage. And they lit a fire. They lit a fire out of their kindness for these shipwrecked people. They lit this fire. But Paul did a little bit more. In verse 3, I believe that Paul, like most of us, was a firebug. The big difference is that Paul not only liked to see natural fires, he had an inner fire. He had an inner fire, and as we go along, that's what we're going to see. That's what's important in this day, that we have an inner fire burning within us. See, Paul saw, if you like fires, you know, if you don't feed the fire, it will go out. And that doesn't matter whether it's natural or spiritual. If you don't feed the fire, it will go out. And Paul went out to gather a bundle of sticks. He went out to get more fuel for the fire. We've got to be in that place where we're willing to go out and get more fuel for the fire, or else the fire is going to go out. See, Proverbs 26:20 says this: where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Pretty simple statement, but it's profound. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Proverbs 26:20. Whoa. See, Jesus said this in Luke 12:49. And I've read this, but I've never ever taken a lot of notice. You know how there's verses you probably read over and over, and yeah. But when I saw this verse again, I thought, wow. Luke 12:49. This is Jesus speaking. I have come to bring fire to the earth. And how I wish it was already kindled. Wow. We've got to become fire kindlers. See, Jesus came to earth to bring fire to the earth. the fire of the gospel, the fire of the early church. He established a body of people that were created to carry the fire of the gospel to the ends of the earth, or the ends of the known earth at that stage. It is no different today. Jesus came to bring fire, and he wished when he came the first time that it was already kindled. And I believe that he wants at the church today, before his return, he wants to come back and see his church on fire. He wants to see his church being kindlers of the fire, that we're willing as Paul was. He saw this fire that the Maltese people, he knew it was going to go out. He went out and he got more fuel for the fire. We've got to continually kindle the fire inside of us. We've got to keep getting fuel for the fire. That's what it's all about, I believe. Hallelujah. What fire are you kindling today? See, this can work in reverse. this can work in reverse. Are you fueling the fire of compromise? Are you fueling the fire of lukewarmness? Are you fueling the fire of sin, some sin in your life that you just won't let go of? Are you still fueling those sorts of fires? Or are you saying, God, I no longer want to kindle those things that are going to cause me to become weak and lukewarm? Or are you kindling the fire of your giftings? God's given each one a gift. Are you letting it lay dormant? It was good this morning, and other meetings we've had recently where the prophetic gift is being kindled in this church. Oh, that we would all prophesy. That, I think it was Moses, said, oh, that all the Lord's people would prophesy. We need to be open to the prophetic word. That's just one of the gifts. But hey, are you kindling the gift of worship? If you're a musician or you're gifted with a voice to lead worship, hey, it's good to have the worshipers that are gifted in that way, and they're kindling their gift, and we're giving them release to have their gift come on fire. But just as individuals, are we kindling the gift of worship in our own life? Are we letting the fire of worship take hold of us? I believe there's a fire that comes when we assemble together. See in the book of Hebrews that do not neglect your, it says that do not neglect your assembling together, especially as you see the time of the day of the Lord drawing near. And we're seeing the day of the Lord getting ever closer and closer and closer. And we need to assemble together, because there's fire when we assemble together. We get a corporate fire. And I love that. We see that. Hallelujah. We've got to not let that go. Prayer. What's our prayer life like? Are we even interested in coming to a corporate prayer meeting? Or we don't really pray at home at all? We've got to kindle the fire that comes with prayer. There's fire in our prayer meetings here on a Wednesday often. There's a fire that comes. And with that fire, it comes. See, with fire comes a boldness. With fire comes a boldness. God is wanting a boldness to come to his church. Earlier in the book of Acts, there's a passage where the disciples, through one man getting healed at the lame man getting healed at the Gate Beautiful, they got persecuted, they got arrested, they got dressed down by the authorities of that day and threatened to be put in prison and told not to preach the gospel anymore. And they prayed a prayer. They prayed a prayer that God, you would, oh God, that you would see what these people are doing. But they didn't then pray against the people that were persecuted. We have this habit of praying against all the stuff. We've got to pray for God to move in the circumstances. Get away from praying against this and against that. We've got to pray in the area of God, send your fire. And that's virtually what they did. The group of the apostles, or Peter and John in particular, I think were the ones that were arrested. And they said, Lord, stretch out your arm to heal, to set free, and to bring the glory of God. And as they did this, it says that great boldness came upon them. It was like from that time onwards, the apostles and others that had been saved, it was like a fire of boldness came upon them. And from Acts 4 onwards, you will read that healings took place and people got day after day, people were being saved. There were signs and miracles and wonders taking place daily, because with the fire came a boldness. God baptized them in boldness. I believe he actually baptized them with an inner fire. And that's what he's going to baptize the church today, with an inner fire. Oh, hallelujah. A fire that can't be quenched, as I read in the words of that song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deep within there's a fire that can't be quenched. Can you testify to that and say, God, deep within there's a fire that in me that can't be quenched. I'm not going to let it be quenched. I'm not going to let it be put out. I'm going to keep fueling the fire. And there's a longing for you, Jesus. Have you got a longing for Jesus? Have you got a longing to see him move in your life? Oh, we've got to have it. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, there was a snake in the story, and I have to bring it up just momentarily. I mean, you know, most of us know the story quite well. But there was a snake, was a viper, came and fastened onto Paul's hand. This is, at the end of verse 3, it fastened onto his hand. And of course, we know what happened. He shook that snake. He dealt with it by shaking it into the fire. I believe that the snake of comfortable Christianity that's so prevalent and rife, if you like, in the church around the world today, is going to be shaken into the fire. It's going to receive the fire. And I think there's going to be a lot of squealing and a lot of howling and a lot of, you know, screeching and as the snake of comfortable Christianity. That's what I got from the Lord. He's about to deal with the snake of Christianity that's around churches in every nation in the world. Maybe not in places like China where they're under persecution. Then they've got to be for real. And other places, I just named China as probably the main one that we think of. But in the Western world, the snake of comfortable Christianity is about to be dealt with in the fire. I really believe it. I really believe it. I remember a few years ago at a prayer meeting, and you know we were praying, and there were one or two I think praying about God. We along the lines of, Lord, send your fire. We need the fire. It's good to pray that. But this particular person came up to me afterwards and said, oh, you got to be careful about praying for the fire. He said, I'd never pray for the fire. You just don't know what God's going to do. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's a dangerous thing to pray for the fire. And I thought, what? But you know, this person, I believe, did not want the fire to touch his comfortable Christianity. And what I know of this person today, I don't think that has changed. He likes his comfortable Christianity, and he does not want the fire to touch his brand of Christianity. And that's sad. That's a sad place to be in. I really believe it. See, William Booth wrote a song in 1894-95, somewhere about there, called Send the Fire. A God of Elijah, hear our cry, send the fire. There's three or four verses of that powerful, powerful song. And when you get revivals start to come in places on the earth, that song is resurrected over and over again. Over and over again. I believe we've got to have, there's got to be songwriters, if you like, to start seeing what God is about to do. We've got to get new songs about the fire. A lot of our songs are about comfortable Christianity. Our songs and our worship will often, over at a period of time, will often reflect exactly where the church is at. Think about it. Exactly where the church is at. And we have not had new songs about the fire of God coming for quite a long time in the church. We like the more comfortable songs. But this is a passionate song of fire. And I believe that this is what God is about to release to the body. With the fire is going to come songs that back up what God is doing. Hallelujah. Boldness. There's going to come a new boldness in the songs that are going to be released. New songs that see into the heart of God. Songs that see exactly what's coming upon the earth and upon the church. We've got to begin to get hold of that. Oh, glory to God. See, when Paul had the snake fastened onto his hand, the natives were expecting him to die. They looked and, he's a goner. He's a goner. We'll just wait. Watch. He's about to keel over. Why didn't Paul keel over? Because he carried an inner fire. Amen. He carried an inner fire. See, when we're in a situation like that, we're not going to have time. We're not going to have time to say, oh God, I need to pray Ephesians 6. I think the armor of God has fallen off. I've been bitten by a snake. And so, God, I better get the Bible out, Ephesians 6. And you begin to recite about the armor of God. And that's what Christians tend to do. Oh, I've got to get a prayer out. And be. I tell you what, Paul did not have time. or you might say, Val might, when I get to a phone, I better ring Val to get the, what do you call the team? the prayer team to pray for me. You're not going to have time for that. You're going to have to carry your own fire. You're going to have to carry your own fire. So, you know, or you might think, oh God, I've got to get Psalm 90. All these things are good. There's nothing wrong with, putting on the armor of God. There's nothing wrong with getting the prayer group to pray for you. You might, Psalm 91. I've got to read Psalm 91. Oh, I need the protection of God. You might get to the part where, where you will stand against, the lions and the young lion and the serpent. Oh, the serpent's got me. And you go down, you're halfway through Psalm 91, speaking about the snake, having victory over the snake, but the snake's got victory over you. It's too late. See, Paul had that inner fire. And that inner fire, we're just about at the end of where I'm going. Paul had that inner fire that released healing encounters and revival. See, because in verse 7, after he didn't die, the natives the people of Malta were absolutely amazed. They thought he was a god.
A god.
Wow, he was supposed to die. No one's ever survived a viper bite. You die. But Paul didn't. And that got their curiosity up. And there was a leader on the island, a leading man of the island named Publius, who had hosted them, but he had a recurrent fever, and Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, laid hands on him, and he was healed. I think most of us have a desire to see people heal, to pray and to lay hands on people and see them healed. I think the reason, and I know the reason, I pray, I lay hands on people, and very, very rarely see them healed. And I know why. I'm not carrying enough of the inner fire in me. I'm not carrying enough of the fire like Paul carried the fire. See, if I had enough of God's fire in me, I would be doing the command of Jesus to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead. But I haven't got, I've got to be honest, I haven't got enough of God's fire in me. We can think of all sorts of excuses, but I believe that that is the basic problem. We think, well, maybe we didn't pray long enough. Maybe our words weren't enough. Jesus healed with a word. We try and heal him with 1,000 words. Come on. Have you ever been? You start praying for a person and you just sense there's not much anointing, you know, kind of happening. So what you do is you just keep praying. I think if I pray a bit harder, a bit longer, a bit stronger, maybe something will happen. So you keep praying and you end up thinking, what am I doing this for? My words are just, you know, bouncing off. It's the fire that's going to heal, the inner fire. Whoa. Hallelujah. See, and then the last verse, after this had happened, after they saw, the people of Malta saw this leader, leading man of the island, healed, they came to Paul. And all who had on the island, verse 9, this is, and the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting healed. Not a few, not some, but all. We've got to be in the day where all are getting healed. And I cannot see any other methodology is not going to do it. We've thought of so many methods. We've got to carry the inner fire. See, Paul had that, he knew he carried that inner fire. And when he prayed and laid hands, they shall be healed. Paul raised people from the dead. Paul healed the sick. In Acts 19, he carried such a fire that people just laid a cloth on him and then took it to the sick person. We've modified, because we don't carry that fire, we've modified that process a little bit. If we pray over the cloth, and sometimes it works. God sometimes honors that, and it happens. I'm not ridiculing that at all, but I'm just saying that the level that God wants us to come to is where people can lay a cloth just on, touch our body somewhere with a cloth and take it to a sick person and they heal. That's the level that God wants to bring his people to. And we're going to see it. We're in the day where we're going to see the power of God move because we've got his fire burning in us. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, God. Oh, God. Give us a fresh desire to carry more than we're carrying, Lord. Oh, God, we don't want to be walking around with spiritual croup. Lord, we don't want to be barking and a voice of really of no relevance, of no effect, of no power. Lord, we want to be on fire for you and stay close to the fire. And we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Send the fire, Lord. Send the fire. Send the fire like the days of old. Lord, of William Booth, who was not afraid to cry out to God and say, send the fire, Lord. We need your fire. William Booth lived at a time when the fire was being poured out because people were praying. Maria Woodworth Etta lived in much the same time, and she carried the fire where whole carriage loads of people on trains repented and came to the Lord. They fell on their knees because of the fire that that woman carried. John Alexander Dowie, an Australian, had a church in the 1880s. I think it was in Sydney. And there was a major flu epidemic hit. Every person that came to his church got healed of this flu where they were certain to die, like being bitten by a viper. They came to this flu and people flocked to his church and were healed because of the fire of God that John Alexander Dowie carried. And his people, I've no doubt, got hold of the fire that he was carrying. Lord, we need to be living in a day where the fire is manifesting upon lives, people getting saved, healed, and delivered because of that, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen.